Well, the character, the hero of the book is Sophie. So I wanted to write about a young girl with a disability, Rett syndrome, because my daughter Sophie had Rett syndrome. And the storyline seemed to come of its own accord, really. The setting, I wanted to write about the wilderness areas that I've had a lot of experience with. And it's really an amalgamation of lots of different wilderness areas. And then the Bridal Nailed Hole Wallaby, that I saw that when my daughter was in grade six. We went over to North Keppel and they brought some wallabies over there for us to have a look at and to learn about the plight of them being endangered. So it seemed the right thing to incorporate in the story, trying to bring awareness about the wallaby and giving Sophie something to live for, rather than having to focus on her disabilities, focusing on the love of something else, which inspired her to create a life for herself.
Well, I've just started reading the book, and that was one of the first things that struck me with the character Sophie, is that the, you know, I thought, how did you know so much about a particular disability? But it's only a small part of Sophie. So can you tell me a little bit about that and Rett syndrome?
Well, Rett syndrome is a neurological disorder. There are not a lot of children with Rett syndrome, and they're virtually all girls because they need an X chromosome without it affecting to live. When we first found out about Rett syndrome, you can imagine it was just devastating. But as we learnt more about it, we realised how capable she was. And it was a matter of enabling her ability then. So the story, while it is about a girl called Sophie with the same disability, it's a completely different narrative than My Sophie's Life. My Sophie had lots of people who loved her and had a very rich life. This Sophie is in quite a different situation, and she develops the power to enable herself through her love of the land and the wallaby and searching for her mother.
Your characters are so real as well, and the dialogue, I think many of us, you know, being in regional Queensland, can picture a lot of these characters, but it's also how people react to Sophie too in her inner dialogue, people treating her like she's an idiot and she's not. How much have you drawn from that, or is that just observations?
Well, I think a lot of people with different disabilities, they themselves focus on their abilities, but other people seem to focus on people's disabilities, and it's drawing awareness to that. So we see people with about their abilities rather than about the big or little things that may affect their day-to-day lives. But generally people find ways of overcoming these disabilities. And so I wanted to have a character who had a very real personality, not just the hero type of halo character who always thought good thoughts. You know, people with disabilities are allowed to think bad thoughts too, and allowed to want retribution and revenge if bad things happen to them.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about the story then?
Well, in the novel, Sophie lives in a remote location, a beautiful location. It's inspired by Styx River, just north of us, and also the Great Basalt Wall, which is further north and west. And she lives on a cattle property there. And it's just around the corner. It's just poking around the corner, really, from a town that in some ways resembles Yeppoon. Not in all ways, of course, but the beaches resemble a lot of Yeppoon beaches, beautiful beaches, and the different beaches. And Sophie lives a fairly miserable life in a way. She could be a bit of an unreliable narrator at times, perhaps. And then she finds that she's concerned about the local wallaby that could get shot out because her father wants to develop an eco resort, and he can't get permission to do that. And if those wallabies are still there because they're endangered. So it is ironic, I know, but that sort of thing happens all the time, I'm sure. And so Sophie develops an online presence. She's enabled by a local teacher's aide who teaches her how to use the internet. And soon Sophie's knowledge surpasses everyone's. And she develops an environmental blog and amasses support and orchestrates people basically from her school computer. And then when she finds that the people call on her to save some researchers who go missing, Sophie realises all of a sudden she's empowered. She's no longer a disempowered person with a disability. She's an empowered person who can surge forward in her life.
And this is your first novel, isn't it?
Yes.
So how did it feel to get your first novel published?
I wrote the full novel without anyone else reading it first, and so it was quite frightening to have other people read it. And I think getting on the shortlist for Hachette's manuscript development program and going to London for the Luke Bittmead Prize, that made me feel a bit more confident about my writing.
Tell me about going to London. Sorry, what was the prize?
Oh, it was the Luke Bittmead Writer's Bursary for unpublished manuscripts. It's for first or second time manuscripts. So it's all over the world, every continent, people sent in their manuscripts, and there were 10 shortlisted, and we went to London and for the ceremony, and my manuscript was placed third, so that was lovely, that was fantastic. And the day after that I had an offer from a publisher, and so it went from there. Yes, very exciting and daunting, but exciting.
So why was it daunting?
Writing is a fairly solitary business, and I've been writing this novel for a long time. And I always want to write with the idea that no one's ever going to read it, because otherwise you start checking what you're putting in and editing what you want to say. So then it was, for the first time, it was going to be out in the public, and people I knew were going to, I suppose, read my writing and perhaps cast judgment. I'm a little less sensitive about it now because so many people have read it in the process of editing and the final publication, but at that stage it was quite confronting.
So you're having your launch and here in Yeppoon, that means everyone's going to, hopefully they will read it. So how are you feeling about that?
Oh, I'm feeling really pleased about that, and the support I've had is amazing. The people who have read it have been very positive about it, so that's always helpful, and it's very kind of them because they know it's my first novel. But it's lovely to celebrate all that work and have people enjoy it.
So have you got another novel on the cards?
Yes, I've pretty well finished the first draft of the second one, and it's a very different novel, and it's an adventure story, I suppose you could say, set in central Queensland again. Perhaps I'll do a sequel of The Sticks. There is part of a sequel written, so I may look at doing that after I've finished the second one.
Do you mind if I ask, did your Sophie get to read this?
No, my Sophie died when she was 7. I'm sure she probably would have written something like this if she had lived. And sometimes I feel as if she wrote it for me from heaven. I imagine she would have been the sort of person who'd be concerned about children with Rett syndrome who didn't have as good a life as she had. And she certainly would have been concerned about the environment. So it's a story for Sophie.
Yeah. Well, I think she'd be really proud.
Yes, well, I was very proud of her. And the story is for people who perhaps don't have a voice, people of all different backgrounds, people who are disabled, women, Indigenous people, and creatures who don't have voices and our environment generally. It's asking to listen to them and cherish them all.